Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine of this soon, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Surfing on the internet, surfing on the wider wet, surfing on the existence level plateau of a greater thingamabob. I don't have a clue what the hell to call that, but that is like the existentialism type thing where it's like you go outside of the environment that you're in within, you look outside that box, you see what's going on around you, then you say, hey, why is that thing going on? Why is that thing going on? Why is that thing going on? And then you try to interstitch all of it back together again so that the whole thing makes concise, cohesive, common sense understanding, the ability to transmute, translate, transform, transfix, generate all of that information, all of that energy throughout the entire exocosm, so that when what happens is one thing happens here, then another thing happens there, the mirrored image of those individual little items happening, occurring one after the other, kind of coexists mutually. One thing goes and has positive over here, then there's another thing positive over here. If everybody were positive, then everything going forward, flowing from everybody, would be a positive set of experiences and things and everything else that everybody else should corrupt and encase and enclose and feel good about and keep close to their chest and say, hey, that felt good. Now, then you get all the negative side of that, the opposite side, where it's like, oh, everybody's crying and poo-poo-poo and saying blah, 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 and say whatever, all this other stuff. And that continues to exist and continue to coexist and continue to push forward. And what does that do? That brings everybody else down. Because what happens when everybody is down? Everybody else becomes down. And then what you do is you turn away from the down and you just ignore those people who are feeling down, and then you try and help them do, and then they don't have it then. But you see, if you everybody was positive, throwing a positive incentive information throughout this entire existentialism, then what you would get is a very positive world. And everybody would be happy, and everybody would be flowing, and everybody... Did you know that today is the very first time I've ever had a Frappuccino? I've never had a freaking Frappuccino. I've never actually normally gone into a Starbucks either, but I've had a Frappuccino today at Starbucks, and it was a venti. It was like one of these big mother truckers. I've never had this before. And can you tell that I might be a little hyper today? Hi, EW. How's it going?
No cookies for you. Caffeine and milk. That don't work too well either.
No caffeine.
Caffeine and sugar is bad.
I had the double chocolate chip Frappuccino, so no caffeine. Wait, except in the chocolate. But the damn thing was too bloody cold. I kept freezing my teeth.
Oh, you got a frozen version.
Yeah. You don't think I want a warm version of that shit, do you?
But of course.
No, I wouldn't mind a room temperature version of that, because then it would be like, hey, chocolate milk. Done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you say so.
I do. I said so, and I continue to say so, and I will continue to say throughout the entire rest of the evening, because if I don't continue to say these things, then what will happen is I get all bottled up, and then I'll be all negative. But I don't want to be negative. I like to be positive, because putting a positive thing in the entire existence goes and says, hey, positive forward.
Well, at least you're positive.
I'm positive that I'm positive. Because what I like to say to people is, like, nobody likes to deal with a grumpy guy.
Yeah, well, exactly.
If you're going to sell something, you're going to sell something positive. Sell something positive, because you know what? People love to buy that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to sell that shit. So, Mr. Positive, that's me. I will positively sell you my book. Separate and succinct, disparate and distinct. Available at all online e-tailers that sell good books. See how I segued that in?
Well, I noticed you also mentioned good books.
Good books, not bad books.
Yes.
Bad books, we don't know what they are. They get banned. Why? Because people are silly.
What's a bad book?
I don't know. I've never read a bad book. Oh, wait, I have.
Oh, I was going to say, I've read some bad books in my past, too.
No, I've only read one bad book. There's only ever been one book that I've ever had to say, I can't read this anymore. I'm putting that down.
Which one was that?
You will never guess which book that was.
I got a feeling I do know. And
you haven't even got a clue. You are not even going to be anywhere near it.
Would this happen to be the book that was also in a so-called competition of how many pages somebody could get through?
Nope.
No?
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't even know what the hell that is.
This would be the one that was kind of started on the Funky Werepig?
No, that one was okay.
Really?
Yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about now.
I don't remember which one that one was, but I do remember the gist of the that whole spin. I just don't remember what book that was. I don't think this one would be it.
No? Oh, well.
Have you ever heard of Clan of the Cave Bear?
Honestly, I can't say I've heard of this one.
Have you ever seen the movie with Daryl Hannah? And Ray Don Chong or whatever.
I might have, because that I do recognize.
Okay. Well, the movie is based on a book. That book is like this huge, mega, mega, mega sized book. It's like double the size of a normal book. It's about a bunch of cavemen. Sorry, Quest for Fire was the movie that I'm thinking about. Oh, yeah, no. Daryl Hannah is the Clan of the Cave Bear. Right. I'm thinking two different movies. Ray Don Chong, not in this movie. Daryl Hannah, Clan of the Cave Bear. Yes, that movie. Based on that book. This book is double sized book. Huge book. It's about some cavemen. And that's it! It is one of the most boring books ever. It's well written, well done, well researched, everything else, blah, 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 blah. But it's pretty freaking boring. I was like, I can't read this anymore. I had to put that book down. I have never been back to it. And I bought all three books at the same time because it was a trilogy. It's like, oh, dope. So, yes. That is the only book I've never actually been able to read.
Been able not to read.
Not ever been able to read fully, like from beginning to end. Because when you get some of these other books, it's like, oh, my throbbing member is pulsing for purple patooties or whatever. It's like, well, I'm never going to pick that book up.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same thing right there.
That's just like, no. All your Harry Potter books? I never picked those up. Twilight, never picked those up.
I'm not a Twinkle fan.
Twinkle would be fine if it was contextually relevant. It is not.
It's far from relevant.
Well, I mean, if their superpowers were activated by the sunlight like Superman, sure, they could be twinkly.
In the twinkling of a sunlight. Oh.
Okay, I got some awesome news for people if they haven't heard it already.
Okay.
Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
What do these three things have in common? Ghost Rider, Blade, Punisher.
I know this answer, and I think it's the publisher.
Well, no, they're all from Marvel, but that's not what's in common right now this week.
Oh, no.
Marvel has acquired the rights to those franchises back.
Oh.
Which means that the only franchises still not owned by Marvel of their Marvel-based franchises is X-Men.
Right.
Spider-Man. No, Spider-Man is joint returned. So,
yep.
Wait, not
right.
That.
Returned.
And Fantastic Four. That's it. Everything else is back to Marvel.
Sadly, I have to agree. The Fantastic Four needs to go back into their possession. But
they both need to. They all need to go back to Marvel because Marvel's the only one who's going to actually put a spin on it.
Well, my thing is if they do pull. Okay, let's just say hypothetically they pull Marvel or Marvel pulls X-Men back in. Okay, now they get the word mutant back.
It's too late.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too. You just can't go back.
No, you can. You can go and take a whole completely different sideline, and they would do that, but. To rejig the MCU, it wouldn't. And it doesn't need to. I mean, the whole X-Men universe could exist on its own, which is how Marvel has done a lot of their own comics anyways. I mean, the whole Secret Wars, this thing that is happening this month, is about how to collide and smash all of those different universes back together as a single.
Is the rumor true?
Which one?
That they supposedly released the movie poster already, or a teaser poster, for Captain America 3.
I haven't seen it, and if it is, it's probably fake.
Well, yeah, because from what I'm understanding, it's a very similar poster to what they're saying Civil War is going to be.
Well, it's the lead-in to Civil War.
Exactly. So, but they're saying that Iron Man's suit is totally different. You know,
well.
Have a different look.
Some people might not understand, but there is also a character that comes in between Captain America and Iron Man called Iron Patriot, which is a Captain America version of Iron Man.
I do remember that comic book.
So that happened like in the middle of Civil War, and that was about, hey, look, Captain America is Iron Man. No. Iron Man is very patriotic to the country, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's one of those things.
But I think with the characters, they're kind of built already. I think I can already guess who that is.
Who what is?
Who's going to end up playing that role.
Who knows?
Anyway, it'd be his buddy who's in the suit already.
Roddy Rhodes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Inferno would be awesome.
Mm.
Yeah. But did you see the picture of Suicide Squad?
I did.
Oh my God, am I so disappointed.
Well, there's a couple of them that look good and a couple of them that just look like somebody was stealing from other films.
They all looked bad to me. Actually, the only one that looked good to me was the lady who plays Katana.
I liked Harley Quinn's outfit.
I didn't. I thought it was stupid as hell.
There was a lot of Harley Quinn to see.
It makes her look like a stripper, a hooker, a slut, and all that other stuff. And as much as she might be, she doesn't look like a dirty hoe.
Well, she's not in the jester outfit that we're typically used to seeing.
The jester outfit is only a part of who Harley Quinn is. Mm-hmm. Okay? Just a tiny little part. The other character developments for her, as both in the nurse outfit and the roller derby outfit and everything else, don't make her look like a low-down dirty hoe. That shot in that still makes it look like she's a low-down dirty hoe. Now, and what I'm going to say is, it makes it look like she's going to be a secondary spin-off character, and which is going to lead into some of the discussion we're going to have after the intermezzo.
Who's directing this one?
Oh, I don't remember who the director is.
Because I know it's not Josh Whedon, because if it was, he just would totally be done with her.
Nah, he might have gone with a look like that, but the character itself is not...
He's already said he doesn't care about female characters in any kind of lead role.
David Ayer.
Oh, well. Now, hopefully, here's my hope. Because if you remember when the Turtles first... When they first rumored the remake... And everybody's like, oh my God, they're going to be aliens and all that. And of course, they did do the wonderful joke in the movie about it. But when they started with that, people went into an uproar. Mm-hmm. And they were able to tweak it and change it. I'm hoping that that's what they're doing here, is they're trying to get a taste to see what people think. And we'll start listening and say, okay, we need to fix this. We need to fix that. That's what I'm hoping.
To a degree, I would... kind of agree with you, like I said, to a degree, because they do a lot of early beta testing and stuff like that with all that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. I'm just actually looking up the actress who plays Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie, Australian actress. She's very attractive. She looks nice.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm trying to reconcile against the character that they're portraying in the picture, and it's like, I'm really not buying it. That is not Harley Quinn to me, and I'm having some difficulties with it. Now, this is DC, though, so this is why I'm saying I think that it's going to get skewed so wrong. The only one who I like the look of is Enchantress.
Mm-hmm.
She looks awesome. She looks like this is a character who can go either way and be completely messed up, completely psychotic, over the shot, over whatever, or, hey, look, I can help you guys... save the day. Bam, there you go. It's all done. You didn't even have to work very hard for it.
Well, and here's when I said that some of these look like a take from other programs, and this is when you said DC, this is why it makes more sense, and that's I was going to avoid that. But if you look at Deadshot's outfit, his look,
I can't stand it.
I don't like it either, but it's almost identical to what they made Slade look like when he was in an outfit to fight against the Arrow in you know, the TV series.
Yep.
So it's literally looks like they're taking bits and pieces from all this stuff to try to create this group.
But here's the other thing I would throw at. If you look at all of the guys in that picture,
mm-hmm.
except for Will Smith, and because he's a black guy,
mm-hmm.
they all look alike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They look like they're brothers, for crying out loud. They all look like they're part of the same familia.
Well, I think this is where I'm disappointed, because they kind of did their Death Squad in the TV series, and I honestly think they did a better job there, even though it was a short little bit. I think they did a better job there than what they're doing here, because it looks like they just shit on a film and said, here, we're going to put it out for you.
Yeah, I could see that totally as a possible part of it. By the way, somebody told me that they saw a picture where Val Kilmer is kind of like a guest bit in Suicide Squad.
Oh, I think I did read something about that.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that would be funny and stupid as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
And the guy needs to lose some weight, too.
I don't really care. He's a goof. I'm going to always say he's a goof. Did you know that during the when he was Batman in the movie and his contract was nobody was allowed to stare him in the eyes?
No, really?
Yeah, that was part of his contract. You could not look at him directly in the eyes.
Oh, I did not know that. I must have missed that.
That was one of those, really? You people are stupid. You really think you're that important? Shut the hell up. Shut the front door. I like shut the front door. But I am hoping better things on this. And like I was telling somebody else earlier, I have high hopes. I hope it'll do well because then it puts DC back in the limelight that says, hey, look, they can still make a good movie. Mm-hmm. However, based on some of the pictures, that picture and then the picture of Jared Leto as the Joker, it's like,
oh, no.
I don't know about those.
Yeah, I'm not fond of him as the Joker. I mean, I just don't see him pulling it off, period.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of one of these up in the air kind of things. It's like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to move on to other movies. So I watched 3 movies this week.
You did?
2 of which we're going to talk about before the break, and then the one of which we're going to talk about for the whole after the break.
Yeah, I know which one it is.
Yeah, of course you do.
And I've not seen it. So it's
oh,
good.
Well.
That's okay. I'm going to mention one before
Yeah. So, first movie, Fast and Furious number 7.
How was it? Because I've heard...
I was surprised. I enjoyed it. And I don't like the Fast and Furious movies. I think most of the Fast and Furious movies have been trite, lame, boring crap. I think it's a pastiche of, hey, fast car, hot chicks, and that's about it. Like, hey, most of the Fast and Furious movies had no stories.
Oh. Now, could you tell when his brother stepped in for him?
Oh, for Paul Weller?
Yeah.
No. He's perfect.
Because
yeah, I couldn't actually really tell. It's like, wait a sec, I know the guy died during the movie, so at what point did he die?
Yeah, they said...
You don't film a movie in order.
No, they don't. The jump scene where he's jumping from the trailer as it's going off the edge of the cliff, and yes, you can see that in the previews if you haven't seen the movie. That was supposedly Paul Walker... But they said it wasn't too long after that the rest were his brother.
Oh, well, his brother did a darn good job.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's what I have to say. The one thing I liked about this movie, because I've seen most of the rest of them, I think I skipped like number 4 because it's like sounded stupid as hell.
Tokyo Drift, I heard, was the worst.
Oh no, I saw that one. I really, really, really did not like that one, but I saw it. which is probably why I skipped number 4. One of the things that always bugged me about the movies is they didn't seem to really have a concept of a story. They had a concept of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, it was a neat idea once, but how do you keep 7 movies running that way? It's like, I don't know, I didn't buy into that. But this movie actually seemed to have a worthwhile, flowing, decent story. It's like, okay, here's the concept, great, okay, dude. Wow, okay, cool. And then a bunch of neat shots and a bunch of whatever. Some of the shots in this was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
The one scene where they're jumping this $4 million car from one tower to another tower to another tower is like, yeah, that's not likely, but that's just cool looking. There is like no... Well, there's a lot of scenes in this. Is like, if I start thinking with my science head, I will rip this apart... completely, take all the little bits out. It's like, whoosh, doof. All right, so.
Yeah. Which, and it's not difficult to do with a lot of the movies, but, yeah, it's kind of... I mean, right now, I think the biggest reason people are wanting to watch it is because, you know, it's his last film. So.
I'm willing to bet that, and I'm hoping that that's one of the reasons why they actually put a story into it, so that it would be something to sit as a testament to something worthwhile. Personally, I'm not a really big fan of his. I didn't really like his acting in most of the other movies. Mm-hmm. It's like they didn't work. It was kind of one-dimensional. It's like, okay, you put a stereotypical FBI white guy into a role. It's like, okay, but he's dealing with criminals, and how is that he automatic? The whole thing just never worked for me. This movie actually kind of worked for me. And oh my God, is Dwayne Johnson ever huge?
Oh yeah, he's
holy crap.
Since that, I forgot the name of the movie with him and Mark Wahlberg, where they were like working out together in the film. Since that point forward, he has just been getting stockier and stockier.
The guy's shoulders are like, how do you walk through a 3-foot door with those things?
Oh no, the dude's good.
That guy is freaking massive.
He means it.
He's massive.
Yeah.
I just. Now,
I am a fan of Vin Diesel. I do like
Vin Diesel.
I'm excited for a film that's coming up. I just hope that the previews were not the best of the whole film.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's Maggie?
No, I'm talking Vin Diesel's new movies.
More specific?
Witch Hunter.
Yes, that looks interesting. I'll watch that.
Yeah, so that one's on my list to get a look at. And of course, I'm going to try, hopefully next week, to get out and go watch one of the movies we're going to be talking about tonight. But
yes. Okay, so second movie. This one is going to throw you for a loop, because when I mentioned it to you earlier, you didn't even know what the hell it was. You mistook it for a completely different movie.
I did.
Monsters 2, Dark Continent.
See, he didn't say Dark Continent when he told me.
I just said Monsters 2. Oh, okay, it's like the most recent movie. Monsters 2.
Hey,
it came out.
It's not too old either, so.
Blah. Blah. Okay, so I'm assuming then that means you haven't seen Monsters, the first one.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so that one was set in the Amazon rainforest. Gentleman is hired to go and hunt for a rich guy's daughter who's lost in the Amazon, where what has happened is that mankind sent out a probe saying, hey, extraterrestrial life, are you actually out there? And some extraterrestrial life said, sure we are. Slapped back some asteroids at us, and inside those asteroids was, call it a life bomb. What happens is these creatures evolve rapidly, starting from little tiny, tiny spore-type based creatures, evolving into complex cephalopod-type creatures, then into giant-sized, humongous creatures that float, walk. None of them fly, but they either float or walk. Oh, actually, no, at the end of the Monsters, there was one that flew. But it works out that the end of Monsters is basically a love story, you know? And it's just right. These giant monsters. It's like watching The Walking Dead with zombies. It's like the whole story is about what's going on, people, stuff, things. And by the way, there are zombies. This is what's going on, people, stuff, blah. And by the way, there's these giant monsters that can kill you or just walk away. Right?
Right.
So Monsters 2 is 10 years later, and what's happened is several fragments of that meteor has dropped off now in the in parts of Africa, in the Saudi waste and everything else. And at the same time, there is a resurgence in terrorist acts, rebels, and all this sort of thing. So the U.S. Army is involved with that. But at the same time, we have all these giant monsters that are just exploding all over the place. The whole idea is, what the fear is that all of these life forms will explode across the entire planet and completely eliminate the existing life process and replace it with a different set of life ecosystems that's more conducive for an alien invasion.
Hmm.
So the idea is neat as hell. It's really cool science, but this particular one is a much more military movie. It's about jarheads on the ground in deep in the actual conflict, and this one guy who's the main character and his sergeant, and then how they deal with what happens and what they have to deal with. It is an intense movie. It is an emotional roller coaster type movie, especially if you're into the military style movie. I'm not really a big military movie guy. It's like, okay, that's cool, it's fun, whatever. But this is the kind of movie that's like, you get into it, you're watching it, it's like, hoo yeah, all that stuff and everything going in, and it's like, holy shit, what just happened? Kind of thing. And then it goes into, oh, and by the way, there are freaking monsters that are like 40 feet tall and like, can just pick up a person and throw them around a corner over a mountain and whatever. Really cool movie. I highly recommend it. But
this would be one of those ones, don't stop watching, you have to watch it from beginning to end.
Yes, you have to pay attention, because if you're not paying attention to it, it won't make any sense. The ending is very sudden.
Mm.
Okay? It's one of these movies, it's building, building, building. Oh, okay, what's going to happen there? Oh, shit, that just happened. Oh, wow. And then, bam, movie's over. It's like, what?
Hmm. Interesting.
It's okay. A weird, quirky movie. It's kind of got an odd pacing.
Yeah, I like War Dog's question.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to have to look this one up. Which I did. And, of course, the director's name is Tom Green, and we argued which Tom
Green. It is not that Tom Green. It's a different, completely unrelated Tom Green.
Well, I'll have to wait and see. One day he's going to come out and say, I'm Tom Brady, and I flatten my footballs. Oh. Okay. Anyway, I have to mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I haven't seen it yet, so whatever. I
have to mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because...
blah, blah.
It wasn't... the tie-in really wasn't all there.
I know. I'd heard that.
It was a disappointment to me because I was really expecting this major tie-in. I was expecting, like, you know, after Thor, you know, how they and Captain America had to go and do all the cleanup and so forth. It just really wasn't there. The only thing that they did do, which was kind of cool, is they killed off Edward James Olmos. Yes.
Hey.
He was being a prick lately. So it was
He was always a prick. That was his character. It was what it was supposed to be right from the beginning.
But the twist to that was kind of wicked, and you know, this last episode was interesting. Of course, they are saying they are down to their last two for the season, which is going to make people wonder what's coming up next. And I really do want to know, because isn't there, before the new season starts, isn't there another Marvel movie coming out? Yes, no?
Yeah, there should be at least one.
Yeah.
Can't remember which one. I think it might be Black Panther.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't remember either. And then, of course,
I can't remember which one.
And then, of course, Netflix is supposed to be releasing some more.
Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, or Power Man. I don't remember the full release schedule on them, but I think two of them come out this year, and then two of them come out next year.
There's four more on Netflix that I've already put in the queue, so as soon as they pop up, it's going to let me know.
Yep.
Which I'm excited to hear.
And the fourth one would be Defenders.
Yeah. So I'm anxious for that. Now, I have a question for you. Because
the answer is five.
I'm a fan of The Flash.
Yeah, whatever. Blah, blah.
It's not been so bad, except for this last episode. There was just too much mushy-mushy between him and Iris. But, and I understand.
Who the hell's Iris? Oh, yeah. Okay, the chick. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, they brought Grodd in.
Grime Grodd! Kneel before me! Oh, that's right. Different guy.
Yeah, wrong. Yeah, that's Zod.
Kneel before Grodd! I can't. Your hairy ass is on front of me. I can't see that.
Grodd don't like banana. I love this. Grodd was very intellectual.
He's supposed to. He's supposed to be the leader of a whole race of intelligent gorillas that built up an entire civilization without the threat or fear of humanity.
Dude, they cracked a joke in here. And of course, it's Sisko who does it, because he's like, what, none of y'all watch movies? But he's like, is this going to be like another Planet of the Apes thing?
Of course.
Loved it.
Okay, fine.
So, but yeah, I mean, these were the two major ones that that stand out. But the question is, and they hinted to this, and I need a reminder because I can't remember. What does the Flash start up?
What do you mean, what does he start up?
He starts up some group.
He doesn't start up any group except in the TV series.
No, they're saying he, in the future, he heads up.
No, everything that they're doing in the TV show is based on alternate weird crap, and it's the Speed Force, and he's basically got a whole speed team, and that's it.
Is that what all it is?
Yeah.
Okay, see, because the way that it sounded like they're trying to say, like, oh, here's the start of the Justice League. No, I know
it's got nothing to do with that. Flash doesn't start a group of any sort whatsoever. It's not the Justice League. It's not the Legion of Superheroes. It's not Super Friends. It's none of that. Flash never actually really ever started much of anything except his own stuff. It was always Flash and Green Lantern, Flash and Green Arrow. That was it.
So, but... spoiler, if you guys did not see the preview to next week's episode, it is going to be a showdown between the Reverse Flash, Flash, Arrow, and, God, I forgot what they named the Flame.
Anti-Arrow.
No, the guy that, the Flame guy, the Caitlin's boyfriend who became...
Firestorm.
You know, Firestorm, thank you. I could not remember that. So it's going to be a showdown between all of them.
Okay. Did you watch any other movies? Because I want to move this along, because the whole after the break thing I want to spend on very specific sets of things.
I did, and this one is actually kind of worth it if you want to see something kind of a little bit gory and at the same time mysterious. Val Kilmer is in this movie called The Traveler, and it's pretty freaking wicked, because and there's a huge twist at the end. But he comes into a police department and tells them, I'm here because I committed murder. And so, you know, they lock him up. He's already freaking them out and everything. But every time he tells, confesses to one of the murders, something happens. And you kind of got to watch it. It's freaking awesome. And it is gory. It is, it's got some pretty wicked blood scenes, some splatter scenes. But Val Kilmer does some history that you're going to love. You personally, ZZ, would love, like I'm gonna slaughter the name of the Lacrimosa.
Okay.
And he actually gives some history into that song and what it's about, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it's totally worth watching. It's a little slow at the beginning. Hang in there, because all of a sudden, when the action starts, it doesn't stop.
Okay.
So, there's one for your list.
I will think about getting to it eventually. Amongst the hundreds of other movies I've got on my on the deck ready to watch.
I knew you'd say that.
What, that I got hundreds of movies on the deck ready to watch?
No, that you would get to it eventually.
I get to everything eventually. Eventually everything gets to me. Ha ha! So now, it is time for Intermezzo! Wah!
Can't play it any. Darn!
I'll tell you once more before I get off the floor. Don't bring me down. like a snake in the grass. One of these days you're gonna break your glass. Don't bring me down.
Was Electric Light Orchestra with Don't Bring Me Down, because I like to be in the power of positivity. Take the street and throw it at people's feet and make them happy whether they like it or not, because if they don't like it, I'll eat them.
Om nom nom.
Are you ready for the third movie? Are you ready? No. Are you ready?
No.
Should be fairly obvious what movie it is.
If it's not obvious and why I'm hesitating to say no.
It's the biggest grossing movie so far this year.
They really have brought in more money. I guess it's not a surprise they have.
Well, it's not a surprise because, I mean, it's got sequelitis, Avengers, Age of Ultron, whoa. So, yes, I know many people here may not have watched it. It only just came out last week. I was fortunate enough to get an advanced preview on it and watch it in the theater. It's like, ooh, this is fun. I'll give you my ranking. Are you ready for this?
Go for it.
It was a good movie.
Okay, what's the ranking?
But it's not a great movie.
That's what I keep hearing.
Okay. It was in the vein of comic book story development and lines of, hey, what's the overall story? Okay, great. That was a good story arc. Awesome. Wonderful. Fine. I mean, I love the story. The characters were great. A lot of the... I won't spoil most of it, Jack. Don't worry. I'll just spoil a couple of pieces. One of my favorite, there's a couple of lines in here that are just awesome, beautiful, out of the way. It's like, what? Really? That's just funny. And that's what a Whedon movie is about. It's a fun movie, but I had some issues with a couple of things. The biggest issue I had was with Ultron himself. And this boils down into the reconciling what's the difference between the original source material versus the reinterpretation as to how they're presenting it and what they've presented. As with Guardians, they changed a lot of things. But in Guardians, I felt it was good and comfortable. And it's like, that is just awesome what they did with that. The whole thing keeps going through the whole movie, and those were awesome things. With Ultron, I really couldn't get past the smarminess. And within the context of the movie, it is essentially, hey, look, part of Tony Stark's smarminess is imprinted on the Ultron design program set. Fine. Within the movie, I get that. That's cool. I just didn't like that as much. Because you already have smarmy with Tony Stark. Why do we need the bad guy to be smarmy, too?
Mm-hmm. Eh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, here's the biggest disappointment that I'm getting in the reviews so far is Ultron.
I have to mention one more thing that I didn't like about Ultron.
Okay.
Why the hell does his mouth have to move? Like, in an organic fashion? Hey, look, you got a mouth that works, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably the biggest thing, because everybody's complaining about Ultron. I mean, they like the voice, they like... some of the evilness about him, but there's a lot of complaints about Ultron in general.
See, I like the design. He's a big, freaky, scary robot. I love the line, there's no strings on me. That's an awesome line, and the way that they play it through the movie is awesome. Mm-hmm. His basic storyline and what he wants to accomplish and why, these were great. It's just that the execution of some of that was I didn't buy into it. I didn't believe it. All of the other characters, I was fine with. I mean, how Cap works, how Iron Man works, how Thor works, Black Widow, Scarlet Witch, even Quicksilver. Quicksilver was a surprise to me because when I saw the original shots of him and her, it's like, oh great, what the hell is this crap? Who the hell is this guy? What the? But the way they presented him in the movie was like, that's actually pretty cool. So he's a real surprise. And his interaction with Hawkeye is awesome. One of the things that I do like about the Avengers movie was you got heavy hitter characters over here. You got the Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America is not as heavy a hitter because he has no real powers. But oh, don't worry about that, Jack. We're going to get to that in a bit too. That is one of the other main things I wanted to talk about. Thor, a lot of power. Iron Man, a lot of power. Hulk, a lot of power. These guys are heavy hitters. But then mm-hmm. on the other side over here, you had the non-heavy hitters. Black Widow, Captain America, Hawkeye. Right? They don't have any powers. All they have are minor augmentations of what could essentially be... Anybody could basically do that.
All right? I know Cap doesn't have powers, but he's got the serum in him, which is supposed to make him... at least stronger.
A little bit stronger, a little bit faster, a little bit more dexterous.
Yeah. And
nothing else.
In the first one, they portray him as being pretty strong.
He can't lift a car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Vin Diesel in Fast 7 lifts a freaking car.
I think Vin Diesel can do that anyways.
That's what I'm saying. In real life, there are people around there who are strong enough to lift a car. That's fine. Captain America can't lift a car, but you definitely give him enough spin, he can push it. You know? Cool. Captain America doesn't have powers. What Captain America has is he's got his biggest special power is the ability to rally people. And if you play any kind of role-playing games or you have any kind of involvement with that sort of thing, what we call a charisma effect, that's Captain America's biggest effect. He has the ability to affect how other people interact, do things. He is a leader of a team, and he's that dude. He's the dude that coordinates people and gets people to do stuff. And that's cool. Black mm-hmm. Widow, she's got little stingers. She jumps high. Okay. Hawkeye, he's got a bow and arrow. And the one line he has in the movie, I've got a bow and arrow, and I'm freaking shooting killer robots. What the hell else do you want? Sort of thing. You know, it's just, I didn't really like Hawkeye in the first movie, but I like him better in the second movie.
Yeah.
He feels much more like a real person. Now, so it's a good balance is the way the put the screen time on. You've got the heavy hitters, because everybody wants to see Hulk and Iron Man smash it out, and gosh darn it, was that fight scene ever awesome?
Oh, and the, what did they call the outfit?
The Hulkbuster.
Hulkbuster, there you go.
Oh my god, I want that statue. I know they have a statue out already. It's like awesome looking. That scene is freaking perfect bang on. Hulk and Iron Man going at each other. That's just like, that was the best part of the movie as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing that's the real killer about everything about this movie. Don't know if you recently heard about it, but Joss Whedon decided, fuck you, I'm off Twitter.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, and this is something that I wanted to talk about for a bit, because this is something that kind of bugs me, and I get it. But at the same time, I don't. And it's really frustrating and bugging the crap out of me. So, a whole bunch of people have decided to complain to Joss in whatever capacity, online, however, and it's like, we hate you because you suck, because you won't make strong women in a movie. It's like, what are you talking about? Black Widow is probably one of the strongest Marvel female characters they have. She's a former KGB assassin who has turned to the side of good because she's still trying to figure out what the difference is between right and wrong and has decided, hey, these guys look like they're on the right idea. How about I go over and help this? Her character in the movie is probably one of the strongest female characters I've seen in a movie. She's not the strongest. She wasn't the leader. She wasn't the lead character of it. But for apparently for some people, no matter how strong a character you make that person, they are still going to be unsatisfied with it.
Yeah.
So, apparently, and this is something that's kind of got my goat, and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to run with it. There has been a lot of negative perceptions thrown back at Whedon. Whedon is only the director, and the movie becomes his baby to do stuff, but there are still people he has to report to deal with stuff. I was reading an article that there are some scenes that don't seem to make sense. There's one scene that involves Skarsgård from the Thor movie, you know, the old professor dude?
Mm-hmm.
Comes out of left field. And there's apparently a whole, like, 40-minute scene that got completely cut from the movie that, oh, okay, so that would make sense as to why this scene is in the movie, but it's mostly cut, right?
Right.
The reason it got cut is because Joss said, hey, this doesn't fit the movie. We have to pull all this crap out. It just makes it too long and blah, 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 blah. So they did. But what Whedon was being told is, like, if you want that scene, you got to have this scene. And Whedon's trying to have the scene which gives some strength to Black Widow or whatever's character and reason why she's doing stuff. And then there's this whole pool scene. It's like, what the hell is this pool scene doing in here? How? Oh, okay. So eventually it does make sense if you're paying attention to the whole bigger story as well. But it's not just Joss Whedon's movie. I mean, there is a whole series of producers. Disney has a very strong hand in a lot of things like this. And they said, no, we want this, we don't want that. We want this, we don't want that. So he's obviously working with the best of what he's got.
Right.
You know what I mean? So why people get upset at Joss specifically for this kind of crap makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I think it was because he made a comment that really set it over the top. I think that's what it was. It was a tweet. Now, as far as I read, the tweet's gone. But apparently he tweeted back towards the, what was it, feminist movement group or something like that. And his response to them is what pushed it to a particular escalation, I guess, in the argument.
And do you remember what any of that was?
Well, they were, you know, basically based on the fact that they don't feel like he's favoring women in there at all, and they're stating that he doesn't think women in any of the films are, you know.
Because at no point in the last 10 movies that he's done has he ever not said, well, yes, I like to have strong women in movies. And why do I like that? Because you people still keep asking me this same stupid question. Don't we have more strong... What's this movie right here?
Do you know what he's probably going to do? I bet you this is where it's going to lead to, which is actually kind of a smart move. I bet you he takes reins of the Wonder Woman movie.
No, he won't. Do you know why?
Why?
He had the reins to the Wonder Woman movie. DC pissed him over so badly, he said, screw you, I'm out. And then he did the Avengers movie.
Yeah,
he had a script. He had directorial capability to do the Wonder Woman movie.
But if he's doing these other Disney movies, you know, anything Marvel is Disney. So he has the chance to go back to it. I'm sure they don't have somebody on it.
It would be the stupidest thing in the world for him to do it.
You think so?
Positive. He needs to, if he wants to do strong female movies in Marvel in comic books, he needs to pick any of 1,000 different characters in Marvel and do it. Wonder Woman DC is dead for him right now. If he were to go and do a DC superhero movie, I think it would be the dumbest thing in the world.
Well, I don't know why Marvel is even worried about it, because they're not...
Whedon's not got any issues against Marvel. Right now, it's against the feminist movement.
Marvel doesn't even own the Wonder Woman movie.
That's because Wonder Woman is a DC property.
Yeah, not only that, but it's also right now in the hands of Warner Brothers.
DC is owned by Warner Brothers. It's a subsidiary.
Oh, that's right. I think we did discuss
this
already.
Yes, we have discussed this before.
And for some
reason, forget the shit!
Hey, I three strokes, I can forget.
yeah, whatever. But, okay. So, it's...
I don't know. Again, you're right. It's an attack on him because they think it's all about him and it's his choice. of course, I mean, you and I know about script writing. You know how the scripts are written. And it's whoever writes a script, whoever's vision it is. The director has another vision with it, but majority of the time, they just follow that script down to a T. And if somebody, you know, like the owners of the film come in and say, well, you know, we love what you did here, but can you fix it to do? And that's usually where they go next.
Exactly. So,
I mean, exactly. In this case, I have no doubts that Stan Lee somewhere in there too saying, oh, well, we don't want this to happen that way.
Stan Lee has absolutely no directorial control whatsoever on any Marvel movie at all.
Now, I'm not saying directorial control. I'm saying that that he's actually in there with some kind of creative vision as well. I mean, he has
nope.
to.
Nope. Stan Lee is a producer in name only.
He's been in almost every one of the films.
Almost, except two. But the thing is that is all a handout to him. It is not... He's got no control over any direction in the Marvel movies or the Marvel universe at all. He was kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he was kicked out because what happened was the directions he was taking the company was one step away from bankruptcy. Now, Marvel is back in a preeminence type of position where it's like they've got good control over their properties and they are not about to go bankrupt from a result of it. But that's cool, that's fine. That's actually not even close to what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the fact that fans, and I'm a fan, of a lot of different things, and I will actually put my opinion out there, but at no time will I ever say that guy is a stupid mofo because he did this. I will say I disagree with it. I will disagree with it vehemently, and I will say why I disagree with it. But at the end of the day, he's the one who made the movie. He's the one that's got the money going for it. He's the one that got that role. He got that position to do that job. He did something. Great. Bully for him. Even though I don't like Ben Affleck as Batman, as another example, at the end of the day, he's still doing it, and that's cool. Right? Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Batman and Superman, I think it's going to tank, but I will give it the benefit of the doubt until I actually see it.
No,
and then I will say, I thought that movie sucked, or I thought it was great.
You're going to be that way anyways, because you didn't like the last one, so you're going in with that same expectation.
Correct.
Now, I do know that they're kind of, you know, cram this film with all kinds of people just so they can try to... I think it's a marketing ploy, you know, an attempt to try to draw the people, but I just don't think it's going that way, and I'm right there with you. I think Ben Affleck as Batman is the worst choice they made. Not to mention, I've read more things on it. He's got two outfits now in this film.
Ooh. Yes, I've already seen the metallic and the non-metallic.
Yeah, and yeah. What's that all about? I mean, they're
that's fine. That's interpreting a storyline and going in a different field. And it's like, great, wonderful. If they can actually achieve it, awesome. If not, which is what I believe they will not do, as I believe that they will fall flat on their face and make a mediocre movie at best. But again, it's an opinion. It's not a, I'm going to rip your throat apart because you made a stupid movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that's really bugging me. Is like, I am a fan of many, many things, and I am a non-fan of many, many things. As Jack has mentioned a couple times in the chat room, Twilight. Can't stand that crap. Whatever. But I'm not going to go and say really negative things about the people who are involved with it. I just don't like it.
Well, and I'm right there with you. You can't sit there and attack the people who are, like, directing it. Like, I mean, the biggest... Josh Whedon's getting attacked, and he probably should have never said what he said, but...
Doesn't matter. He has an opinion, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's fine.
He didn't actually attack a feminist movement. He didn't say anything that was really all that negative, except for it's like, yeah, I made a movie with had some chicks in it. Whatever.
But, I mean, this isn't the first time we've heard the directors get attacked, because even the director for the new Turtle movie was attacked.
Yeah, but that's because it was... worthy of attacking. But no, that was a joke.
If you're enough to go that route, yeah.
I want to actually fixate and focus on one thing about the feminist agenda in regards to it. Mm-hmm. I am very non-partisan group. I believe in equal rights for everyone. Not, hey, we need more rights for women. Not, hey, we need more rights for other groups and whatever, ever. Everybody should be considered equal. Everybody has the same opportunities and same pool of things to draw from to become a successful or forward-thinking person. Why is it that there's so much obsession about how this was in the past? It's like, that's in the past. We're in the today. Let's fixate and focus on what can we do today to make things good and positive for everyone. And I think there's so much of this negative, that all this built, pent-up anger and frustration about, oh, all this stuff in the past has been all this stuff in the past. Like, that's why it's in the past. Let's work now. Let's work towards the future. And I think all of that is now thrown at people like Joss Whedon, who is supposed to be held up as a poster boy for feminist, strong female character types. And then they're unhappy because it doesn't go far enough. How can you go far enough? You'll never be able to satisfy that that trailing agenda thing.
Marvel. What other female characters do they have? And there is one character I know that everybody said should have been in this one, but what other female characters?
She-Hulk, Captain America, Lady Lady Deadpool, Hela, Lady Thor, Freya. There are tons of female characters that could have been strong. There's even a female Black Panther. There is...
Okay, so you want to know the character that everybody is upset about that was not in this film?
Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Yes. Guess what? Newsflash. They still haven't cast the person. How can they put him in if they haven't got a cast member for it?
See, I want to know if Skye is going to be it.
No, Skye is not Captain Marvel. Hate to break your bubble.
I mean, the way they're leading it just sounds that way. But.
Nope. Captain Marvel is a Kree descendant of pure blood, not a Inhuman.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. And
Captain Marvel, in the original storyline, is a Kree warrior that has come to Earth to find out, hey, Earth, this new planet, it's interesting. What's going on with that? And he becomes sort of like an adjutant for the Kree Empire on Earth. And then he develops his own personal way of says, hey, my people are really trying to screw these people over. It's like, that's not so cool. And Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, Ms. Carol Danvers, becomes imbued with part of his power, and that becomes a whole separate thing.
Right.
So it's like, it's not Skye.
And they did introduce Carol Danvers.
There you go. They introduced a Carol Danvers, who will probably be somebody different in the actual movie.
Yeah, no, that's the sad part about it, but they did introduce a Carol Danvers, and now I'm thinking about it, it's like, wait a second,
Yeah, Joss also wanted to have Spider-Man in the Avengers movie as a walk-in, walk-out kind of cameo too, but because the Sony deal didn't come until after the movie was mostly already started, they couldn't work it in. And that was the main thing about Captain Marvel as well, they couldn't work it in because they didn't have a cast, somebody cast in that role yet.
Yeah.
But dude... There's only one little secret scene in the credits, and it's so cool. It's like, holy geez, man.
Who did they introduce?
They didn't introduce somebody. You've already seen him before, but they introduced a thing.
A thing.
A thing.
Hmm.
It goes on a person's hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, but I do know, I was reading on that, there is one gem that's gonna, which causes the fight between the Vision and him.
Okay, there are 6 Infinity Gems. 4 of them that have been introduced in Marvel movies so far. There are 2 more to be introduced.
Well, one of them's in somebody's head.
Yes, the Vision.
Yes.
Guess what, though? Guess how that diverges from the comic lexicon. That's actually part of Warlock's story time. Has nothing to normally do with the Vision. But in this movie, in the way that the Marvel MCU right now has introduced it, it is.
We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Now, on that note, it's about that time. It's the end of the show. I just want to say, hi, how do you know? Thanks for coming out to the show and listening to me ramble on and EW trying to stay in tune.
Trying to keep him away from talking too much about the film. Yes, I did a good job there.
Bah! Ha, 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 ha. I could talk more and more and more about stuff, and I will. Oh, wait, I'm a cookie monster now. Come on into the Facebook land. Come on into the Twitter land. Speaking of Twitter, follow me. Retweet me like a son of a gun if we can, and all this other stuff. And make sure you have yourself an After Rotten good time every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Buy my book, Desperate and Separate and Succinct, Disparate and Distinct. Do it! Do it now!
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.